Greetings, this is James Gillen. I'm your host. We've got another great show. Before we get going with the show, I have a few announcements to make. While we're doing this show, we're walking right into a full moon, and this is an intense one. You know, there's a lot of lineups going on. A lot of people aren't doing too well with the energy, but today seems to be lifting a little bit. And hopefully it's, I believe it's October 18th right now, and the energy is getting a little better, but we've got coming up, we've got the Ascension Rising Conference, and that's November 1st through the 3rd. And if you want to go to galacticu.com, you can find out more about that. You can also send an email to sierra@galacticu.com. And here's a number too at 720-336-1710. And if you want to find out more about that, the easiest way is just get on the computer. You're already on the computer if you're listening to this show. And so just Google galacticu.com and all the information will come up. The other one is the Star Knowledge Conference in Palm Springs. And again, if you just Google Star Knowledge Prophet Conference, just Star Knowledge and then Palm Springs, that pops up. And that's November 8th to the 11th. And basically... And this show is a great show because I've got Itasha on here, and she's actually going to be one of the speakers at both conferences, and she's a good friend and came to the ranch, and we really connected and shared a lot of our star knowledge ourselves. And without any further ado, I want to bring Itasha on the show. Itasha, are you with us?
I am. Hi, James.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I should have added, I forgot to tell people that, you know, you're actually a wisdom keeper and also in touch with the Arcturians, some of our space brothers, and you're a messenger for the Arcturians. So be that as it may, I'm wondering if you have anything to share, any information you've been getting recently concerning, you know, some of the shifts and changes we're going through right now and how we might better adjust to them.
Oh, wow. Basically, a lot of the changes that are coming through now are so highly energetic, it's going to take a lot of work for people to be able to attune with them, because these are different kind of energies. They're spiritual, and I think up until this point, a lot of people have been working very much on the psychic plane, fourth dimensional, and these are fifth dimension and beyond. And these particular frequencies bring in our higher benevolent star brothers and sisters. And they also bring in with them new ways of being. And a lot of that is being in your heart center, the heart chakra. And I think that's the biggest thing that people can do right now, is stay centered in that heart chakra to connect with these higher energies and be in balance with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just had an ambassador training here, and that was the message, overall message that came through, was forget about, you know, the will going through the mind and everything else, that we have to align our will with our hearts and let our hearts be our guide. And it's through the heart that we do connect with these higher dimensional energies and best utilize them. And there was a lot of people in the class, and some of the people were just very mental. I mean, they wanted to know everything, and they wanted to see a ship, and it all needed to be, you know, 3D for them, you know, to have this experience. And luckily, most of them evolved out of that, you know, at the end of the class. But that seems to be the message right now, very strong, is that is we have to get into the heart, and that's where the real power is, the real connect is. And the heart's connected to the soul, and the soul's connected to the source, and that's where we have to go if we're going to be making it through these changes.
That's so true. And the actual thing is that a lot of the higher benevolent star brothers and sisters, they're working with the archangels in this creator source. And for a lot of people that, you know, possibly have been doing their homework, as I heard you call it, you know, it's going to be easy for them to flow right in with those energies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've noticed, I tell you, on the flip side of that, I've noticed that there's some people that are very, very controlling and dominating and very mental, and some very barbaric, you know, in their thinking processes, you know, and have that tyranny program going. And those people, I've been watching them implode and just falling apart, and all that energy just being pushed right up in their face.
Well, that's so very true. Yeah, and yet, at the same time, a lot of the people that perhaps are in touch with the mental, if they would channel that and take a look at some of the things that are going on, even with new technologies, new science, new astronomy, new exploration space, and really look into that, they would take a look at how these energies are coming in. Because you mentioned the moon cycle right now, we have a little bit of a lunar eclipse coming tonight. Mm-hmm. We also have the comet that is coming, and the 11-year solar maximus cycle. So all of these are bringing in energies that, if even if they're mental, if anyone stopped to investigate this, they would realize that even just on this level, these types of energies, electromagnetic fields, would have to be affecting us physiologically and mentally. And the next level would be how we behave and take it to the spiritual level. So it's real. And if they took the time to look at all that, they would be going, oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's undeniable. I mean, you know, I always tell people these shifts and changes, we're going to experience them on the level that we can perceive them. And I know some people are going, oh my God, what is going on? And their crowns are lighting up and their hearts are opening, and they're having these huge shifts and changes, and some being really challenged, even on the physical level, you know, as their bodies are catching up to the new frequencies, you know. And then other people have more of a base experience where they're just, you know, their bodies are just reacting to the energy, but they don't have a clue why, and they're wondering why their job isn't doing too well, and they're just not happy there anymore, and why, you know, just going to the bar and pounding down beers and watching football games just might not be cutting it anymore. They're on that level trying to figure out, you know, there's something missing.
Well, there definitely has been something missing, and as they begin to feel all of this, you know, just to even begin to breathe and connect with Mother Earth and take care of their bodies and what they're putting into it, and being able to feel the beauty of this planet that we have. And as they do this, there's a release. Because you can't connect with Mother Earth. You can't be around the water and the trees and the mountains and the beautiful animal and birds and not feel an aha moment.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was Chief Seattle or Joseph. One of them was talking about how when you remove a man, they should say woman too, you know, from nature, it hardens their heart, you know. And I see that over and over again, that people are in these concrete jungles, you know, and going from one cubicle to another, and the only input they have is the TV, basically, and you know, whatever social conscious programs are going on. But, you know, and it's sad, you know, because they really don't know anything else, and that is such a dense frequency or vibration, and, you know, it's so controlled by the network. You know, the Matrix, people call it the Archon Network. Everybody has names for it, but it's basically social consciousness. And what do you think the best thing for people like that to do? Just get out of Dodge for a little while, and, you know, get a canoe, or get a paddle board or something, or, you know, get out in nature.
That would be ideal for many people. You know, that may not always be possible. So even something as simple as, you know, just walking barefoot on the earth and feeling the earth under your feet, or just simply sitting in the sun and, you know, relaxing for a little bit and letting those sun rays hit your body and breathing. So even simple things for people that can't get away from it all, so to speak, or even just walking outside, mm-hmm. but connect in even the most basic ways and make it a time that you're not doing anything else, even if it's only 10 minutes a day.
Yeah, I was wondering how, you know, sometimes it's so hard for people not to engage their mind on all kinds of crazy things. And I know one of the things in the class we had this weekend, we were talking about that, and one of the questions people kept asking is, how do I stop the mind? You know, how do I, it just keeps going. It's going 100 miles an hour. How do I stop the mind? Do you have any suggestions in that arena?
Well, basically, for someone that cannot get out of the city and they have a job and they're caught up in just sort of that treadmill, if they can even at the end of the day take a moment and put on meditation music or any type of relaxing music, close their eyes and lay down prone and begin to gently breathe. And as you do that breath work, you actually begin to bring in those higher frequencies, and you're bringing that oxygen into your body. You're recharging, rejuvenating those cells. These are just such simple, simple ways. And the other thing, too, is water. And I can't stress water enough. The drinking of water, if they could get spring water or energized water and just drink some water and do some breath work and close their eyes and listen to these soothing sounds. These are simple things, and I say these because I have friends that work 9-to-5 jobs. They barely have time to do anything. And when you do start with these simple little steps, after a while, it begins to expand, and you do more and more and more, but you got to start somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. You know, I always tell people, if you can just focus on the breath, you know, in your meditation, and just keep coming back to the breath. And one thing, too, I always tell them, too, is, like, forget about stopping the mind. You can't, you know, it's going to it's going to run and run and run. You know, that's basically what it does. But you know, what I found out with it is just let it run, and just keep focusing on the heart and focus on love and joy and bliss and keep coming back to the heart and let the mind run. It just runs out of gas eventually, and you're back at the heart again.
That's so true. And that breath is so important. And basically, when you are focusing on that breath, you know, the old adage, I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. After a while, you do become that breath. Mm-hmm. And like you say, you run out of that mental chatter.
Exactly. The one of the things I found out with me is that, you know, I'm lucky because I actually live in nature, and, you know, I actually live in a place that people pay, you know, to go to on vacations, you know, things like that. So my whole life is basically living as a vacation. But although there's a lot of light work going on here, and I need a vacation from the vacation, you know. But because it does seem like, you know, people go, what do you do? Just sit around and bliss all day? And I go, no, there's a lot of work to do on this ranch, you know. And I said, between the shows and the email lists and the ranch and taking out dead trees and taking care of the yaks and the chickens and everything else, you know, it's a lot of work just keeping the ranch up itself.
Well, we moved down here from the mountains, the White Mountain Apache Reservation, about almost 4 years ago now, and it was pretty much like what you just described it. Our everyday life was, you know, chopping wood and building wickiups and, you know, going to the trout streams and collecting mm-hmm. water. And so to come from that into a more urban area, even though we're very near the mountains, you know, we basically had to continue returning to the mountains. So I don't feel that people that live in cities can just stay there. They do need to do these simple things on a daily basis to maintain themselves, but they're going to have to get out into nature, which you just described perfectly, and where we pretty much, our family, lived our entire life. And if it weren't for returning to the mountains, we personally could not survive in a quasi-urban environment. So I urge people to constantly, continuously reconnect with nature, no matter where they live.
Yeah, it is necessary. It's I've just seen over and over again is that because of these changes happening, you know, anybody that is in nature a lot is fully aware of these changes and can really feel, you know, the mother going through her birthing process, and you can just feel it, you know, the energy's coming in, the shifts in going from one physical form to another, less dense physical. You can see the changes in nature, you know, the weather, you know, you can feel the increase in earthquake and volcanic activity. Especially when you're sensitive, you feel it way before it happens when you're tuned to the mother. And it's just a whole different reality. And I know most people in the cities, you know, that live in these concrete cubicle lifestyles are so out of touch with that. They're not even aware of what's coming, you know, of the changes and the shifts that are coming. They're completely desensitized to it.
Well, unfortunately, it makes changes in the entire planet. There are, you know, real scientific things going on right now. And I mentioned the comet, and I know you're probably aware of this yourself, mm-hmm. and also the solar maximas that are going on that happen about once every 11 or so years. And these cause actual sun flares. These cause, the tides to change. These cause climate and growing cycle changes. And people, if they go outside, if you even go to any mountainous or grassy area, you can actually feel the earth moving. And we have seen in some of the mountains around here, we live near the Superstitions and also some other mountain ranges. And I can see the rocks in them because I go hiking there changing. They actually move. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that mm-hmm. up where you are, but I've seen that here.
Oh, yeah, definitely we have. And I can't wait to get back down to Giant Rock, you know, down there near Palm Springs and the Joshua Tree area, because that area... where we go out there is right square on the fault line. It's where the two fault lines meet, and it's pushing up. You know, all these crystals are pushing up out of the ground right there, and it's just, the energy is just amazing.
Yeah, well, that's a very powerful vortex there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's real strong, and hopefully we can all get out there and have a little sky watch of our own and talk to the mother and see what she's got in store for us.
Well, that would be amazing. Wherever those lines come, and I think you mentioned artesian wells.
Yeah.
Did you? Yes.
Yeah, so there's a huge underground aquifer there, just a massive underground aquifer, and we're right on top of it.
Well, as that water would be flowing and the crystals that are there, imagine the electrical... the field charges that they would be emanating, and anybody around there would have to feel them. You couldn't be there and not feel them.
Yeah, I was there last, it wasn't too long ago, just a couple months ago. I was there for the Joshua Tree event, and it was amazing. And we went out for a sky watch out to Beacon Rock, and this big pink, beautiful pink ship came in and powered up, just lit up. And one of the guys there got it on film and everything. And the woman that runs the sky watch is out there. She goes, "What was that? What was that? I've never seen that before." And I go, "What? I mean, you do the sky watches?" You know, it was funny. I started laughing, but We also had another kind of an orange, pinkish orange, a little more orange one, just going about maybe 8 feet off the ground, just cruising right over the greasewood bushes, you know, not making a sound, just dead silent, just cruising right along. And we watched it all the way across the valley. But
beautiful.
It was quite an event. But I can't wait to come out there with you guys and you know, with your sensitivity and see. I mean, I saw beings running all over that place, and I guess all the elders used to meet there, and they had huge gatherings there. So in the past,
but that was yeah. I know you're right. That was a major medicine area out there, and most of the vortexes and those areas were often where people went for ceremony and mm-hmm. for healing. And that was what drew them. Mm-hmm. So when people gather in these places, they receive healing and they receive all this beautiful rejuvenation.
Definitely. I mean, I was just blown away by the energy there. I mean, there's a lot of stories about these green Mojave rattlers and that they jump at you and you have to be really careful, and they don't rattle, you know, they just sit and wait and come out, you know, and come after you. And I was hearing all these stories, and I go, you know, I don't think things have changed, but I was raised in the desert, and we used to catch those things. And they pretty much leave you alone, you know, unless you step on them, or, you know, mostly they want to get away from you. But I don't know, it'd be interesting. I've never had a rattlesnake come after me or for any reason, you know.
Well, living in this particular area of the country, you know, we have all of those, and I never had a problem, and neither of any of the people I know. And basically, it's because there's an awareness of where nature and the different kingdoms, if you will, where they live and where their home is. So we don't disturb their home. And when you approach nature that way, then no, you don't have any problems.
Yeah. Don't you call them buzzworms?
I've not heard that particular term.
Yeah, it's kind of an old one. But I remember I was hanging out once with a couple Native American guys. There were some elders. There was a rattlesnake there, and they were playing with it with a stick. And it was striking. They're just laughing and laughing. You know, they thought it was so funny. And one of them called him a buzzworm. But, but you know, it's typical sense of humor. You know, they're just totally having fun with it, going, you know, like, it was hilarious. But anyway, that's kind of the environment I was raised in there, where, you know, my dad, luckily, he took us across the desert, and he showed us. He goes, okay, these are the things you can play with, and these are the things you leave alone. Yeah.
Well, we have, especially up where, you know, our home is up in the mountains, we have a lot of bears, and we have a lot of wolves, and, you know, coyotes are all over now. And where we are now, we live near a natural reserve. So we have a lot of wildlife that comes by our house, and mm-hmm. they don't bother us because we don't bother them.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been having a little bit of problem just because we have chickens here, and we've had, you know, a few of the critters here coming for takeout, you know.
And, oh.
and so we've had to deal with that. I just MacGyvered the chicken coop, you know, so if anything goes near it, all these lights go off and bells and buzzers. It's kind of funny. It's kind of hilarious, you know, but, you know, it's I think that's an easier path to do than sitting on guard out there all the time, but it's kind of hilarious.
Well, pretty much. We grew up with the, up in the mountains, we raised a lot of cattle and, yeah. You know, we have, our situation basically has been wolves coming for takeout.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to argue with them.
No, they pretty much have their own territory, though. But we just haven't had any problem with nature because once you go out into nature and you find out, and the only way you can find out is to go out into nature and you find out where their territory is, then you don't put your house there. You don't go hunting there. You don't go fishing there. And so a lot of the animals and wildlife and so on that have come in, it's because humans have encroached into their territory. So, you know, and then we leave offerings for them too.
Yeah.
Little food offerings.
one of the problems we're having here is that, I don't know what, it's like the Forest Service is on, I call it the Deforest Service, is on steroids right now. And I've never seen so much clear cutting. It's just insane. And even breaking all the rules, you know, it's supposed to be a scenic area, and they're just cutting right to the highway and just leaving nothing. And so these huge habitats around the ranch here are being taken out, and now we're having a lot of problems with a lot of, you know, bobcats and lynxes and coyotes and everything just coming in, you know, and taking out the chickens and things like that. And there's actually been attacks by coyotes lately that on humans, you know, which is very rare. But
that's extremely rare. I know a lot of people may not be aware, but you probably are, that there are a lot of urban coyotes in city areas like in LA, Chicago, and you know, maybe it's not good to feed the wildlife, but perhaps finding out how to recreate another habitat for them.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I've noticed, there were some prophecies I remember way back where the animals would lose their fear and they would be coming down from the mountains. And, you know, so that seems to be happening. And at the same time, I've noticed here, we have these coyotes, and they're not small. They're pretty big coyotes. A couple of them just got hit recently on the highway, you know, and I was looking at one of them, and I go, boy, this thing is bigger than my dog, you know. It's taller, it's stronger, it's pretty heavy, you know. It looked like something in between almost, but the coyotes seem to be getting a lot bigger. And they're losing their fear. They're just, before, you never saw them. I mean, they were very sly here, and they stayed hidden because they're hunted a lot. You know, there's a lot of hunting in our area.
Right.
And now they're just standing right out in the middle of the fields and standing right on the roads, and they're not, you know, shy at all anymore, it seems like.
Well, we had a problem up in the mountains, the Ashlet in the White Mountains here in Arizona a few years ago, because the grocery stores were leaving a lot of their dumpsters full. So as a result, the bears, instead of hunting, were coming up like for dinner. And they actually would go into some of the schoolyards and trap down the street.
Wow.
And so, you know, they had to look at how they were putting out their garbage and so on. So, yes, the animals are coming closer. A lot of it that we've had here, and we've seen a lot of coyotes trotting down the street here, has had to do with lack of water, and they've actually come in for food and water.
Yeah, it seems like their habitat has been greatly diminished in many ways, and especially here, it's, you know, you can't blame them, and it's just sickening now to drive up the highway here and just look at all the clear cuts. And, you know, and I'm not against logging. You can shelter cut. You know, there's ways of preserving the forest, and there are some people here that are doing it, and you don't even notice. You know, they'll go in and they'll do logging. You didn't even know what happened. You know, and the place is preserved, you know, so.
We have had a lot of fires here, and I know many other places there have been, but we had in the White Mountains a few years back one of the biggest fires through Heber Overgaard and the Apache Reservation where we were living, And after that, we've taken a different look at how we're reforesting, and we're using the type of reforesting that you're talking about, you know, not clear cutting, and yet at the same time making sure we don't disturb habitat. So it was a tough education for people, and it's taken a long time to bring those forests back. So, you know, they learned the hard way.
Yeah, it seems that's our nature, you know. We have to wait till the ninth inning and we go, whoops, you know.
But Mother Earth right now, you know, is really repositioning herself, and there are real earth changes going on, and they are resulting in changes in where people live, changes in where wildlife lives. So maybe we're going to have to look at some of the places that we've called home and built cities and, you know, make some new types of communities.
Mm-hmm. I had a guy here from Korea, amazing guy. He was like a kung fu master and qigong and everything. And he was going to school at Portland State University and getting his degree in family or in community planning or city planning or whatever, and he engaged the ships, and he had two or three major interactions. It just blew wide open, and then afterwards he realized that his whole career was over. You know, he said cities don't work. He said it's terrible. It's the worst way to live, and he said we can't do this anymore. And he goes, we have to, you know, have more green zones and space, you know, and psychic space between houses, you know, so people aren't, you know, overlapping, you know, and there's, and it was really funny. He had this huge download and he just realized that we have to do everything different.
Yes, new types of housing, and you mentioned like the green zones around the housing, and it's going to take a lot, but the reality is that a lot of the cities that people are moving out of, and they're becoming almost deserted because people cannot exist there anymore because there aren't green zones. And so maybe that's what it's going to take, people moving into outlying areas and building new types of houses, planting new types of trees, and creating these basically sacred, beautiful places, because Mother Earth right now, this such a beautiful planet, is trying to ascend into this jewel of this other Earth, this crystalline Earth, and that's what we're transitioning into right now. That's what's happening, and that's what's hitting people hard.
Yeah, it seems as this lifting occurs, the stronger it gets, the more sensitive people get to their surroundings, and the more they realize they just can't be in that kind of surrounding anymore, that kind of environment. And I've seen that happen over and over again, is that, you know, but there are some people that go, I just love the city, this is where I want to be, and I don't care where my food comes from or my water or anything else, you know, I want all the excitement and the, you know, the turbulence. You know, they love it.
Yet at the same time, a lot of the cities, and I've seen it here in some of the urban areas here in Arizona, are beginning to recognize that while you might want this more exciting urban lifestyle, you can still have these green areas. They are planting more trees. They are putting areas outdoors where people can sit outdoors and look at art and listen to music, and I'm seeing it happen. I've seen them tear up sidewalks and replant flowers and benches, and more cities are becoming aware that, okay, if we're going to offer all these services, you know, the movies, the arts, and all of this, and people live here, let's beautify this area. Let's make it more green, more natural.
Mm-hmm. I know Hood River, we just got back from Hood River. It's a little town right on the Columbia. And they did a lot of that, you know, and they've done a lot of work on parks, and they have little rivers like running through the town and waterfalls, and they rerouted some things. It's pretty nice, you know. I think they could use a little more personally, but you know, but it's still a city, you know, and it's pretty much void of the wildlife and everything else. But it's right next to a forest, a pretty big forest, so there is a lot of overlap there.
Well, it's going to be very exciting for people, I think, to be a part of being able to re-green Mother Earth.
Oh, yeah.
And that's basically what we're all going to have to participate in, because we can't just keep taking and taking and not give back. And this is how we're going to have to give back. I know several of the utility companies down in this area of Arizona, they're offering trees for free for people to plant. So I think we're going to be seeing more of that, you know, planting trees, planting flowers, bringing in waterfalls and streams. It's part of where we're headed.
Yeah, I think so. It's so important right now. I know you're getting a lot of communication on high, you know, from our space brothers and sisters up there. I wonder if you have any messages lately from them, you know, concerning, you know, the shifts and changes and things we might want to be have a little heads up for.
Well, the reality is that yes, I do, and it is serious. I mean, I can't trivialize it and make it all, you know, sweet and sugary, because they have been very serious lately, and they have been very concerned about some of the things that not only we're doing to the earth, but doing to each other. And they have mentioned the fact that people need to begin to share more of their possessions and their food and their money. They have also mentioned the relocation, and I'm simply telling you what they're saying to me. Relocation of communities and people into more ecological and balanced areas. And they've also mentioned very strongly in terms of how we eat and how we use our resources. And in terms of a timeline, they don't give me a timeline. I've never seen them say, oh, this on this date or this date or that date, this or that will happen. Yet at the same time, they stress that it is urgent. They stress that it is urgent and to do it now. And I get this every single day. The other message that they've given very strongly is to pull away from the society as we've known it, with all the hustle and the bustle and the monetary system, and that this is not the way to go, because there is an abundance, and when you go into this fifth dimensional realm, you can access a lot of these needs that you have. In terms of how people are responding to children and to the feminine, the divine feminine in this earth, they're not very happy about it. And they're saying that we need to be paying more attention to people around us and to those that are helpless. And that includes the children, that includes the divine feminine. So these are very, very powerful messages, and when they do come, they usually explode in huge explosions of light around me, and they often will speak very strongly, and they did not used to do this in quite this urgent a way as what they have been doing with me recently. And this is every single day, every single night. And I didn't used to get this every single day and every single night, but I am now.
You know, I've noticed one of the things I get overwhelming emails with people saying something's up. I can really feel something. You know, it's right around the corner. You know, I don't know what it is, and you know, I'm not sure what it is, but I'm just really feeling you know, that I need to get ready for something or prepare for something. And it's probably exactly what you're talking about, is people are feeling it everywhere. There is kind of an urgency that we really need to start getting our consciousness and our environment in order, and you know, going full speed ahead, and especially concerning the tyrants. You know, we just can't allow that same program that's taken the earth down again and again to come forward, you know, and you know, because it's, you know, you look at the condition of the air and the water and the land and the toxins and the, you know, you know, not to go on a downer, but you got the chemtrails and the GMOs and everything. And finally, I'm seeing people are finally rising up and just saying, hey, we're done, enough's enough. And we're done with the uneven dispersal of wealth, the manufactured lack, and the enslavement through dependency, and all of this stuff, you know, and the big corporate greed. So luckily, it looks like the people are waking up in mass, and they're just done with that old program.
It's very interesting, because I watch my children, and I watch the animals that I have around us, and I'm noticing that they are more loving. I'm noticing that they are trying more to communicate with each other. Like, I'll see the cats go up and kiss each other. I'll see children come and just want to give a hug or something. It's like they want to be close. So, you know, we've been very caught up in the computers and the cell phones, and the technology does serve a purpose, and we needed to learn how to use it. It is important. It keeps us connected globally, etc. But one of the aspects that we let go by the wayside was the one-on-one and the very human touch that I see happening with children and animals. Not talking to each other, not laughing with each other, not listening to each other, but just, you know, dependent on a message. And when you realize that someone that is on a television or in a computer, this isn't a story. This is a real live person with a heart and soul and life. And once you realize that, then, and you realize that the things that are happening don't just touch one of us, they touch all of us, then we have to begin to help each other. We have to begin to reach out our hand to others and say, how can I give? How can I help?
It's definitely, I know, in hanging out with you guys how you're in pure service mode, and it's so refreshing to be around people like that. You start getting lost, you know, in this separation game, and you know, the me and the see me, dig me program going on, you know, at a lot of these conferences and all these other things. You go, finally, you go, you know, when meeting people like you, I go, oh, finally, you know, my family's here, you know. It's like authentic, you know. It's so refreshing, you know, to be able to let down all your guards and just be.
Well, I felt the same way, you know, that being there at the ranch, and also with so many of the beautiful people, that it's like, this is our soul family. We are soul family. And once you feel that and you go, oh my gosh, it's not just a family that I was born into by blood or a piece of paper set that I'm related to, but I'm actually related to these other people. I feel them. I feel their heart. I feel their soul. I feel their spirit. And when we become one with people like that, the way that I saw at the ranch and other places, you are them and they are you. And how could you not reach out to your brother and sister? How could we not reach out to each other?
And you know, one thing I realized too is that You know, if we have not found the divinity within ourselves, how are we going to ever see it within others? And that's what I see is so important right now, is that people are just looking at their own reflection, you know, over and over. And social consciousness has such a dense reflection, you know, a dense vibration. And it's very sad, you know, to have that, you know, to be trapped, you know, in that matrix and be part of that. I call it the delusion, you know. It's not illusion, it's worse than that. But it's so refreshing to see people that have owned their own divinity and realize that that divinity is not an ego trip or separate from others, but actually, you know, it's they've connected to the love of source and know that love serves, you know, versus, you know, there's no need for acceptance and approval outside of yourself anymore, or there's no need for the fame or the money or whatever else. And I just see all that as just a conduit or as a tool, you know, to use to get the message out. And that's it. You know, that's all it's for.
That's true. And one of the most important things, too, for people at this time that humanity is ascending and transforming themselves, as people use those terms, but basically I see it as returning to source, is as we look at things around us, whatever may be happening, when we see tragedy or we see hardship or natural disaster, one of the first things that you'll notice is neighbor helping neighbor. And you'll notice that, as we notice that, people will often lose everything. And so people say, okay, let's store up our money, our food, our water. And then you look at what happens, where all that food and that water and that money got destroyed in that catastrophe. And in the end, they say, thank God you're here. Thank God I'm alive. And I'm so grateful because I have my life. And I think that when we realize we were gifted this life, we were gifted this time, and just say, thank God that I have this life, and to be able to share it with others. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. I know it's I always say that. You know, they go, good morning, you know, how's your morning going? I go, well, I woke up. I'm still here. I said it's just going to go up from here. But some of these shifts and changes happening. There's sometimes I go, well, God, the energy comes in so strong. I feel like this is going to kill me. You go, oh, well, I've already been there. You know, and then you go to bed and you wake up in the morning and it's gone. You know, it's really strange.
And that's so important, though, your whole beautiful attitude of joy and to be in joy and be able to, you know, smile at yourself and laugh at yourself and say, oh, you know, my hair's sticking up. Oops, like the socks don't match. And be able to see the humor in some of these things. Because if we can just laugh at ourselves, laugh with ourselves, and be happy, then we're going to be happy around other people. And we're going to just, you know, just like each other more. And basically for the Star Brothers and Sisters that are here, as you mentioned, that is one of the things that they would like to see, is people perhaps appreciating themselves and being happy with ourselves.
Yeah, for no reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's we get these Kazekiel grins here. You know, it's a long story, but the Kazekiel is known by the Star Nations. They call him the God of Eternal Bliss, and it's ascended version of Ezekiel and Kasia, a feminine energy that merged together. But you know, you connect with this energy, and it's so strong here that you just get all blissed out for no reason. And people look at you and they go, what's so funny? You know, we just start laughing. And there's nothing funny. It's just the energy is so strong and we just start just busting up and laughing for no reason. And, you know, I guess I can say it on the air, but we get these big shit-eating grins on our faces, you know. And people go, well, I'll have what he's smoking, you know, or something, you know. And I go, no, this is 100% natural, you know. There's no drugs involved in this at all. But it's hard to... Sometimes I feel you get in that energy, you can almost have an atomic bomb go off and you'd be laughing all the way. And protected at the same time, probably, you know, so. But, yeah, it's pretty intense energy.
Well, I'm not very good at making jokes. And when I was teaching on the reservation, you know, I always come in and my students would say, oh, there she is. She's got that blank, blank eating grin on her face again. What are you all happy about? And I said, because I'm alive.
Yeah. It's a good start. Yeah, it's pretty funny, this whole thing. I think this whole planet needs one of those, you know. It needs to just, you know, I wish some enormous cosmic god being would just get this bliss bazooka and just fire it at the earth and just, and actually that's one of the meditations we do, very similar to that, but just hit this earth with this beautiful golden and green healing blissful energy. And And you know, we can all do that. We can meditate and connect in with our own God self and send this energy back to the earth. But I wish more would do that on a regular basis. And I just love to see the whole earth go through its own near-death experience and come out blissed out on the other side. And I really think that's probably what's in the future.
Well, it definitely is in the future. And quite honestly, you know, there are a lot of ultraviolet rays and others that are going to be coming through in December, especially after we have the comet and the solar flares that are coming through. And when this Earth goes through these shifts, which call it whatever one wishes to call it, there is no way that the electromagnetic field, the auric field that surrounds not just the Earth, but people, is not going to be affected. So people are going to find themselves sort of zoning out, mm-hmm. where they might feel like, you know, they're maybe 90 years old, you start a sentence and then you can't finish it because your brain goes dead. And so that's the point where, you know, they're going to stop that mental chatter. And when some of that happens, they'll be put, whether they want to or not, into a sort of a quasi-meditative state where some of these energies can start flowing through them. And that's going to be part of this ascension process, ongoing. It's ongoing.
Mm-hmm. I know the gamma ray bursts they're hitting, they're telling me that those are like 7D, seventh dimensional energies that are hitting the Earth on a regular basis. And we used to be getting hit by about maybe 50 hits a day by cosmic sources, you know, of gamma ray bursts or ultraviolet or infrared and things like that. Now it's beyond 500 and climbing. And we are aligning with galactic plane, you know, which is a huge waves of energy hitting the planet, you know, along with Alcyon and Sirius, you know. So you know, all of these energies are really coming into play right now. And yeah, it's, I guess resistance is futile, you know. There's no other option but to ascend, you know, because that's where it's going. And that's what I'm seeing, these other programs, the greed, the tyranny, the separation game, that it's over, basically. It's in its death throes and it's folding in on itself. And people need to just walk away from it and let it die.
They really do. And, you know, another way also, and you touched on, you know, what can people do, but also at night to be able to go out and look up at the stars. We do have some meteor showers that are coming through, I think, through the 18th, 19th, 20th. And then we're going to have more as Comet Ison comes through. What is that, November, over Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
In that time period. And so people will be able to go outside. They should be able to do it now and even look at the sky, and they should be able to see that the orange light and pink light, which is at Antares and Venus at this time. And as they begin to even go outside and feel those energies, even at night, and look up at these planets and these bits of meteor that are coming through the skies, that's going to shift them too. You can't look at those beautiful night skies and not feel something.
Oh, yeah, without expanding. You know, I always tell people, go out there, you know, if you really want to know what's going on, just get into your heart and fill yourself up with love and joy and bliss and send it out to, you know, the Pleiadians or the Orion Council of Light or the Andromedans or Arcturians or Sirians. You know, send it out there and just say, hey, you know, I want to know. That's all you have to ask. Is there anybody out there? I want to know, you know, are you guys for real? And watch the skies and you're probably going to see a major reaction, like a ship power up or some ship come in and make a nice turn and zigzag, and you know, they look like they're drunk sometimes when they're, when they're waving back and forth. They come over the ranch all the time and they sideslip back and forth, you know, and I think about it, I go, well, they did bring us the grape, you know, so they might have some wine aboard, you know, the old Anunnaki, but you know, anyway, it's getting really interesting with all the different beings coming back.
Definitely, we've had a lot of activity here in Arizona. I think it was just a couple weeks ago, we've had a lot of ships coming in from the Superstitions and over Yosemite Mountain, and there was a group of about five of them coming in formation. You can see them coming out of the mountain, and they stand still, and they go in a circle, and these are, they were the green ones, and then I know about the pink ones you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. We've had pink ones come in. They sort of, they fade in and out. Pink and violet, pink and violet.
Yeah. We had a beautiful, John Kelly's here, and he's got all the gear, you know, and he does yourinnervoice.com. He's got a lot of it recorded there, but he set out his, it's like an all-sky program where he just sets the camera out and lets it run. And the last night he was here, he set it out by the tower here, and this beautiful green and turquoise, like blue, giant, just massive ball of energy just manifested right above the tower here where I sleep, you know, and it was just hovering and sitting there, and he got the whole thing on film, you know, just coming out of nowhere, you know, a higher dimensional ship, you know, or being, but really interesting. I just saw the footage, you know, the day before yesterday, so I'm curious. I can't wait to check into that more, but he got some amazing footage of all the different colored ships and you know, doing amazing displays here and morphing from 1 to 3, and which is a good Arcturian trick. They love doing that one.
How beautiful. I hope you'll be able to share that at the conference.
Yeah, hopefully. I believe. Yeah, I will see if I can grab that. Hopefully he'll send me a clip, you know, that I can show it. But the, you know, one of the ships I saw one time, and I know you know a lot more than the Arcturians that I do. I don't think that's part of my lineage or something that I'm aware of. I'm more connected in with the Pleiadians and the Orions and the Andromedans and Sirians. But they came here one day and they dropped down on top of the mountain and they actually took their ship and morphed it from 1 to 3 on one side, and then they did it on the other side and made 3 ships out of one and did all this crazy display of in physics, you know, beyond our imagination, and just showed clearly, you know, how advanced they were. And then they took off, and the jet chased them. It was hilarious, and they just led the jet off, you know, and then they just popped right back where they were and started doing their display again. But you know, amazing what they can do. You know, their technology is so far beyond anything we can imagine.
You're right, and that sounds so beautiful. What love you must be giving out and also receiving through having all of that around you, James. That's so beautiful.
Well, it's just a mirror to the love that you're channeling through and sending out to everybody. You know, we're hitting the end of the hour here. Boy, it seems like this just flew by.
It did. You finally were talking about all these beautiful energies, and the time slipped by.
Yeah.
totally forgot.
So we probably should do a little shout out and let people know that we're both going to be speaking at the Ascension Rising Conference, November 1st through 3rd, and you can go to galacticu.com to check out more on that, and or you can send us an email and we'll give you the information. And we're also going to be at the Star Knowledge Conference, November 8th to the 11th, so check that one out too. And just Google galacticu.com or starknowledge.com, and all that information is up. But again, Tasha, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and I can't wait to see you in Sedona, and I'm sure we're just going to have a blast out there.
It'll be awesome, and thank you so much, James, for everything, and it's just been such a joy. Much love and blessings to everyone and to all of you at the ranch and to everybody out there, and it's just so much joy and blessings. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome.